And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Should be fun. That's a good baseball team that, you know, is fighting for the same thing we're fighting right now. And, to be in this position is great. There's a lot of teams right now that they don't have the luxury to, they're not in this situation. And for us to come here and, or to be here and play the Yankees three games in late September, I know it means a lot to the baseball world. It means a lot to the fan bases and the organizations, and I know it means a lot to the players.
All right, there you go. That is Alex Cora a short time ago over at Fenway Park talking about the fact that the Yankees are in town.
Yankee talk, keep talking, Yankee talk.
So here you go. Yankees are in town. 9 games to go for the Red Sox. They have a 2-game lead in the American League wild card race. New York is the team directly behind them, and the math is pretty clear. So that's where we're going to start tonight on the Baseball Hour, 617-779-0985. Your should telephone number here. Again, on the Baseball Hour, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yankee talk, keep talking, Yankee talk.
Jim Murray is alongside. Normally on Friday nights, we have Matt McCarthy here. But as you know, if you listened last night, Matt was here last night on the program. He has something else going on this weekend.
You know where he is? Cooperstown.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's been posting photos all day.
He's there for a wedding, though, I believe.
Oh, well, he made sure to get in a little bit of baseball nostalgia before that wedding.
Oh, I'm sure he loves baseball. He really does. I mean, he might, I'd say might. He loves the game more than I do. I used to love it years ago, not so much anymore, but he really loves baseball. So, again, I want to go give you, it's not often, particularly during this season, let alone last one or the end of the one before it, where we really had an opportunity to look at a series and a matchup and actually talk about the baseball with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and we're going to do that tonight on the Baseball Hour. We'll open up the phone lines right away. We'll entertain anything and everything that you want to discuss about this series, and I'll try to give you some of the nuts and bolts because I think now at this time of year, some of the nuts and bolts on these games are important. Now, that said, let me make this part of it clear, and I started to do this last night, Murray, and I firmly believe this. This is not media hyperbole. This is not manufactured talk show fodder. This is what I truly believe. The Red Sox are up 2 games. There are 9 games left. They have 3 with the Yankees this weekend and then a couple of lambs on the schedule in the Orioles and the Nationals. There's really no reason they should not be hosting the wild card game here on October 5th.
And based on how they've played recently, too, yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, the way that this thing is panned out, and it feels like, and I know the Mariners are still alive, only a couple out, but it feels like you got 2 spots for 3 teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Toronto.
And the
Red Sox, you know, they feel like they got a good lock on it right now.
And Murray, they're 3 up on the Blue Jays. 3 up on the Blue Jays with 9 to go. Do you understand what it would take for the Red Sox to blow this down the stretch? And I'll give you some very elementary math. We don't want to bog down people with too much.
Only kind I understand.
Okay, but 9 games to go, and I'm going to leave the head-to-head matchup with the Yankees aside and just give you the math over 9 games. Obviously, 3 of those games are against New York. If the Red Sox go 5-4, because they have the tiebreaker, and I'm talking about if they were to finish still, first in the wild card, okay? Because they have the tiebreaker, if they go 5-4, Toronto or New York would have to go 8-1 to beat them. 8-1. Now, again, there are head-to-head games in there with the Yankees that skew that math and that alter that. Because if the Yankees beat you 3 in a row, the whole thing flips upside down. It goes completely in the other direction. So this weekend, you win 1 against the Yankees, you're okay, you're fine. You win 2 against the Yankees, you might pretty much put a nail in them too. And that might be the end of it. And then all you got to do is play half decent the final week, and you're going to be hosting here on the 5th against New York or against Toronto, one of those 2 teams. So let me ask you this, Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have, you have a certain level of disdain for the Red Sox at times, maybe more so than most people, but that's okay. I'm not criticizing you for it. I'm just kind of laying it out there.
Yeah.
So people are aware of it. What is your level of confidence in them right now, to finish this out and be in the play-in game again on October 5th, what is your level of confidence in them, and what is it relative to what it was 2 weeks ago?
Oh, it's, you know, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident, like an 8.5. You know, they've played Lambs here recently, you know, like Baltimore, and they're cleaning up on them, as they should. They certainly have some mojo with these ugly uniforms, but, you know, with some new pieces that have popped up on this team, like Iglesias helping them defensively. Evaldi's been pitching the lights out. Sale has looked like, you know, Chris Sale of a few years ago. Like, they look like the most solid of these three teams for the two spots right now. The Yankees are flawed in terms of their pitching and in their bullpen, as is the Red Sox. The Blue Jays seemingly can't get the hell out of their own way over this last week. Yeah, Maz, I feel like now, even though I put a nail in them, I'm gonna have to eat that nail, because I feel like they've all but like locked this spot up. Like, they're going to get in. Whether or not they have home field is a different That's a different conversation, depending on what happens this weekend. But they're in. I feel supremely confident that that team's going to be in the playoffs in a wild card game. And it's a lot better than I felt about them like a few weeks ago when I put that nail in like a month ago and said that they were dead.
Okay, I'm not convinced that they're going to 100% be in yet, because this thing has been too unpredictable for me to feel that way. But it's in their hands. That I feel better about than I did a short time ago. And as you said, Murray, they've played the best. The Red Sox are 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 7 in a row. So, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. The Yankees are 7-3 in their last 10, so don't sleep on the Yankees. I don't think this is any sort of layup here this weekend, and Gerrit Cole can be the most dominating pitcher in the game. He faces Nathan Eovaldi at Fenway Park tonight.
I give you something?
Go ahead. Just going to say quickly, Murray, that the Jays are 5-5 in their last 10. They have cooled off.
Yeah.
So that's the math. I'm just giving you the math. Go ahead.
Just a gut feeling thing about the Yankees, because they also have that series with Toronto before they wrap up, too. That series and this series being on the road might favor them, because you've talked about how pressure-packed Yankee Stadium is. Sometimes that can go the other way, and against the home team, you know how those psycho fans can be. Like, I think that these, I'm serious, like, if these games were at Yankee Stadium this weekend and in that Toronto series, there's probably more pressure on the Yankees than them playing on the road. So it's better for them to be on the road.
Yeah, Murray, it's a good point. I'll tell you what, on the way in here today, I actually texted Michael Kay, who broadcasts the game for the YES Network.
Yeah.
And I've known Kay for years, and obviously the Red Sox and Yankees played for 19 times a season all those years. So I texted him and I said, how do you feel about your Yankees right now? What's your confidence level in the team? And what he said to me is, he has no read. I have no read on this team, he writes. Zero. They either struggle or dominate. No middle, no rhyme or reason. They can sweep or easily get swept. And I think that in a lot of ways, that what makes this series really difficult to assess. So you look at the Red Sox, they're hot. You look at the Yankees, you say they're flawed. And yeah, would it surprise anybody if the Yankees came in here and won 3 in a row? It wouldn't surprise me.
A complete sweep would be surprising, I think, at this point with the way the Red Sox are playing. Okay. If they took 2, fine. But like you said, mathematically, even if the Red Sox take 1, that's great for them in terms of, you know, locking up a wild card spot. I just, with the way that they are playing, I know they've beat up on some bad teams. The way that they look right now, I'd be kind of shocked if they got swept this weekend. I really would be.
Okay, so we'll get to your calls here right away. Again, 617-779-0985. You want to jump in? We have a couple of open lines. I see a couple of you there already. The pitching matchups for this weekend, quickly. Eovaldi and Cole tonight. Pivetta and Cortez tomorrow. Eduardo Rodriguez and Montgomery. Is that Jordan Montgomery? I always get the Montgomery.
Yeah, Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah, I get the Montgomerys mixed up for whatever reason. Don't ask. But those are your matchups for the weekend. And the Sunday night game, as you know, or as you suspect, is a night game. That's a 7 o'clock start. And for those of you who don't know, Nestor Cortez is left-handed. So the Yankees are throwing left-handed pitchers in the last two games of this series. The Red Sox have had some difficulty with lefties this year. I don't think it's an accident that New York is doing it that way. As for your starting lineups, and I'll make this quick. For the Yankees, LeMahieu, Rizzo, Judge, Stanton, Gallo, Torres, Gio Urshela, Brett Gardner, Kyle Higashioka, the catcher. Okay, it's a good lineup. New York's got a good lineup now that they've added those lefties in there. Rizzo and Gallo in the middle of that lineup. Torres is back at second base. So it's a better Yankee team. And the last time they played, New York swept the Red Sox in 3 games in New York. The Red Sox really had trouble scoring. For the Red Sox, in the event you're wondering, against Gerrit Cole, Bobby Dalbec out of the lineup again. Okay, Cole is a hard-throwing right-hander. These are the kinds of guys that Alex Cora is going to pick and choose his moments with, in terms of who he's going to play, you know, who he's going to play at first base, rather. So he's out of the lineup. Your Red Sox lineup is Hernandez, Schwarber, Bogarts, Devers, Martinez as the DH, Verdugo in left field, Renfro, Vasquez, Jose Iglesias. Those are all, those are your lineups. Jimmy, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but Alex Cora was asked about Kyle Schwarber before this game tonight. And again, the decision to have Schwarber in at first base, Dahlbeck on the bench to start. Dahlbeck could be, obviously, come off the bench late in the game and pinch hit if they need him to. But Cora was asked about Schwarber, and here's what he said.
Defensively, what have you seen from Schwarber at first now that you do have a handful of games looking at him?
Okay, I know everybody talks about that play right in Seattle, but he's been solid. Just moving around and getting used to it, he's been really good. You know, so we're very pleased with the progress, and we feel comfortable playing him at first base.
Okay, I don't think Cora's going to come out and tell you that he's nervous about having a Kyle Schwarber at first base. I am. And the play in Seattle was awful, and don't take the cheese. The night that Kyle Schwarber hit two home runs a couple of nights ago, he also had a misplay at first base that he got away with. He took his foot off the bag too early. Replays to me showed that the runner was safe. They did not reverse the call. So he is still shaky over there, and that is something to keep an eye on in this series. Again, I want to take a couple of phone calls. Dan is in a car. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing? So I know the pitching match is going to be tight tonight, but I think game one tonight at home, the bats are going to be flying on both sides. I think this game is easily going to go over 9. And I hope the Red Sox pitching just does what they need to do, do better than the Yankees, and slow those heavy bats down.
Okay, so there you go. I guess the over-under is 9. I'm assuming that's what he was talking about. I think it's a pitcher's kind of night over there.
Have you looked at Cole's recent starts, though?
Well, the last one, I think, was bad, wasn't it?
Cleveland. Hit him through 10 hits, 7 runs in that last start, and he needed 108 pitches to get through 5 against Baltimore before that.
Okay, but how many runs did he give up against Baltimore?
Low.
It was low. He had 3 or 4 good ones in a row, Murray. And a guy like him doesn't often have 2 bad starts in a row. Here's what I'm telling you. These are going to be tight, entertaining games. We don't get many tight, entertaining baseball games anymore. Certainly ones that mean anything. And if you think these games are going to move quickly, just tell yourself right now that they're not going to. If you got to get up and take a few innings off, take a few innings off.
Oh, well, that's a given. You know that these games are going to be close to 4 hours, all 3 of them each.
They're going to be interminable slogs. They're going to be interminable slogs. But it's meaningful baseball between the Red Sox and the Yankees late in September. And generally speaking, that's a good thing. Okay, that's a good thing. So again, 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls, and we'll bring in someone to get an assessment of the Yankees when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show where it's always a full count.
Oh, I like this. Yeah!
Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yankee talk, keep talking, Yankee talk.
All right, don't get pissed off. Don't get pissed off. There is a reason we're playing New York, New York. Okay, there's a reason we're playing New York, New York.
I'm leaving today.
So, you know, Murray, I always think that when you have these kinds of series with the Yankees, whether baseball's that important anymore or not, that it is sort of worth getting the temperature on the Yankees and getting an assessment of who's playing well, who's not, what they look like, et cetera, et cetera. What can we expect in the late innings? And so we're going to try a new guest. Someone I've never spoken with. I don't really know all that much about. I got his name from someone else I know. And he works for NewJersey.com, NJ.com, and it's Brendan. Is it Cutie or Cootie?
It's Cutie, but You know, if you know any single early 30s women who would like to call me cutie, you're more than welcome to make that happen.
Okay, so there you go. Brendan Cuddy. And Brendan, is it NJ.com or NewJersey.com?
It's a lot of homework done here. It's NJ Advanced Media, NJ.com, and the Star Ledger.
Okay, so there you go. No, I really did not do much homework. I told you. I spoke with a friend of mine who said, oh, you should have Brendan on. He knows what he's talking about.
I appreciate it. Harper's a good guy.
John Harper's an excellent guy. So let me ask you this. How are the Yankees playing? What should we look for this weekend?
You should look for tonight a real pitching duel, as I'm sure you're expecting, with Gerrit Cole on the mound. The Yankees bullpen is completely rested. They have two big weapons back in Luis Severino and Domingo Germán, who could be big difference makers. The Yankees historically hit high-velocity pitchers pretty well, but they've been terrible against Nathan Eovaldi this year. I think Eovaldi has a 2.08 ERA against the Yankees in five starts. So it's really best against best here when it comes to Yankees and the Red Sox tonight. And that's what both teams need, because both teams are really fighting for that wild card position.
Okay, and so I want you to tell me, since you brought up Domingo Germán, I want you to tell me more about Germán, because you said they have two people back in their bullpen tonight. Obviously, he has missed time, I gather, and I suspect that they're going to use him in some sort of long relief or swing role. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not long relief. I would expect some kind of, not necessarily even swing, more multi-inning right-handed lanes, you know, say from the fifth to the seventh, from the seventh to the ninth. I think he's a guy who can come in the middle of an inning, actually, though he's a trained starter. He does have experience out of the bullpen the last few years. He's someone who can give you length. He's someone who can strike out a lot of guys. When he's on, the changeup is nasty. The fastball is lively. I think Domingo Germán, you know, very well could be a difference maker. You've seen him have some flashes of brilliance as a starting pitcher this year. You wonder if they prefer to give him clean innings. You know how it goes, having been a starting pitcher, whether they want him to come in the middle of an inning. But, yeah, I would definitely count him as a guy who could do a lot for the Yankees, you know, maybe pitch twice this series.
Okay, and so I view him, it sounds to me like what you're describing, Brendan, is a guy like Tanner Houck. I mean, that's sort of how the Red Sox look at Tanner Houck, that they can bring him in for a right-handed heavy part of the lineup, maybe for a couple of innings in the middle of the game. And when I say a swing guy, that's sort of what I mean. That, you know, to bridge from the starter to the late-inning relievers and fill those middle innings. Those guys are invaluable now in today's game. So Severino also interests me. He's only made one appearance, right? He pitched a couple of innings a few days ago. Is that right?
One appearance, two innings, scoreless, two strikeouts, fastball hit 96. You expect to see more velocity out of him as he warms up, as he gets loose, as he gets used to being back on a big league mound. The Yankees are counting on it. Because, you know, when you think of Luis Severino, you think of the 99, 100 miles an hour with the wipeout slider, cutter he's added, changeup that's also pretty good for him at times. So, you know, you don't really know what you have in Severino. Do you have the two-time All-Star, the guy who once finished top three in the American League Cy Young, or do you have a guy who's shaken off rust and really is unadjusted to this relief role?
Okay, so Severino, as you said, one appearance. Germán, I'm looking at the game log here. Germán hasn't pitched since the end of July. Has he been in the minors? Is he rehabbed, or are they literally dropping him in on the fly?
No, he's rehabbed.
Okay.
He's rehabbed. He had a couple of rehab outings. He looked solid in the rehab outings from what I hear from evaluators who have seen him at AAA. The stuff is what it should be for Domingo Germán. He's not built up, of course, much like Luis Severino. They're not built up for starter length. But again, they're guys who, like you said, can be that bridge between the fifth, sixth, and seventh innings. And, you know, the Yankees would love to get seven innings, eight innings out of Gerrit Cole tonight. And they might look at the next two games as we need him to go long tonight because we might need the bullpen for the next two games. But don't be shocked if Aaron Boone has a quick hook, because he knows how important every single game of the series is.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you that. Again, we're speaking with Brendan Cuddy, who covers the Yankees. He was kind enough to join us here tonight. What do you think the likelihood is, quickly, and I want to bounce a few things off you here in the last couple of minutes that we have here, but what do you think the likelihood is that that Aaron Boone would put those guys into big spots right out of the gate here, given that they really haven't pitched a ton in the big leagues.
Well, so, you know, running it back a little bit, yesterday the Yankees had an off day. So Chad Green is healthy, and he's rested. Aroldis Chapman is healthy and rested. Clay Holmes, who has been like a right-handed Zach Britton, is healthy and rested. Wandy Peralta, healthy and rested. So these are guys who really the Yankees need to go to in a multi-inning crunch time role. The Yankees have a lot of options in the bullpen, at least for tonight. So maybe tonight is not the night where you think you see a Severino, you think you see a Domingo Herman, because you have Gerrit Cole on the mound. He's got to give you length. And, you know, those other guys are also guys who can give you length. So maybe you're looking at those guys more for a Saturday or a Sunday.
Okay, and again, I think that's true of both teams, because after Eovaldi, it's Nick Pivetta and Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox, and that gets pretty gray pretty fast as well. So tell me quickly, Gerrit Cole, how's he been lately? I know that obviously he's had some ups and downs here this year between the spider tack, and then he had a hamstring issue, I think it was. The last start wasn't good. Overall, how's he been throwing the ball, and are we going to see the best Gerrit Cole?
Well, so last start wasn't good, and you kind of have to wonder how much that was influenced by his left hamstring that's barking on him a little bit. He had to come out of a game about 3 weeks ago because his hamstring was an issue, and he couldn't finish the inning. So you wonder if he's battling that. You wonder if that's limiting him at all. His velocity hasn't taken a dip, but you wonder about the command. You wonder about the control, the breaking pitches. Can he really finish them? So it's, you know, I don't want to give you the cliche. It'll be interesting to see whether Gerrit Cole can rebound from his crappy last start. But, you know, the Yankees need him to. And he tells them, the Yankees, he's healthy. And, you know, the Yankees need him to be that ace that they expect him to be. They can't lose Gerrit Cole starts. You can't afford to lose Gerrit Cole starts, especially right now.
Okay.
So, you know, I got to think that he is primed, ready to go, and you're going to see top-shelf Gerrit Cole tonight.
Okay, two more questions for you. We'll try to do them quickly before you go. One, how is Anthony Rizzo playing, and how would you describe his impact on the Yankees this year?
Anthony Rizzo's had it rough lately. You know, I can't tell you what his exact numbers are over the last five games, but since he's come back from the COVID IL, he's been a little different. You know, he's missed on some pitches you'd be surprised that he's missing on. He's made some errors that are a little uncharacteristic of him. He says he's fully recovered. I have no reason to doubt that he's fully recovered, but he has he's struggled a bit since that hot streak and since returning from the COVID IL. So, you know, he's a guy that the Red Sox coveted at the trade deadline. The Yankees would love nothing more than to use the guy that they feel like they stole from the Red Sox against them.
Okay, and then finally, what do the Yankees need to accomplish here this weekend? Do they need to sweep? Is two out of three enough? Two out of three a minimum?
They got to look at it as they need the sweep. I think bare minimum is two out of three. I think they have to go into here thinking sweep. I think they have to go into Toronto thinking two out of three sweep. There's no more time for games. There's no more time for messing around. And, you know, the Red Sox and Toronto both have kind of soft schedules after the Yankees. But, you know, the Yankees have the Blue Jays coming up and then the Rays coming up. So it's really just a gauntlet going ahead for the Yankees, and they can't afford to miss, because if they do, then they leave themselves no room for error.
Yep, very important weekend and a fun one, one like we haven't had here in a while, Brennan. So listen, thank you for taking the time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
You too. Okay, again, Brennan Cuddy, NewJersey.com, NJ.com, kind enough to join us. Just give us a little nuts and bolts there on the Yankees. We'll get back to the Red Sox and assess sort of their lineup tonight. And again, the importance of this series from the eyes of the Red Sox. Do not underestimate the importance of this series. Do not blow it. Don't blow it. They're in a good spot. We'll give you the math again when we come back after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here's the designated talker mouth.
Swing that out.
The Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How long are you going to keep wearing those yellow uniforms?
We'll wear them tomorrow.
Bogarts up next, swinging a high fly ball center field. Nino's back and turning. This one is gone. There's number 30 for Schwarber. There's another one. High deep drive right field. Pilar back to the bullpen. Gone.
I know we're not the Yellow Sox also, but I mean, we need wins right now. So if it's yellow, it's yellow.
Reaction. That's it well to right field. Pilar on the run. In. Iglesias rounds second, and if Conforto is the throw, that gets by. That went into the dugout. The run will score. Sox get two on that as the Mets throw it around. It is 9-1.
So as Xander Bogart said, if it's yellow, it's yellow. It's yellow again. Red Sox will be wearing yellow as long as this winning streak goes on. Seven in a row entering tonight's game with the Yankees. I will say, well, let me ask a question. Let me ask those of you who are going to watch the game, listen to the game, go into the game, for all I know. Who's the series more important for? Who is the series more important for? Because to me, there's a very clear answer. And if you say it's important to both, that's obvious. But which team needs to win more? Murray?
Oh, I think it's New York, considering where they are, and they could be. I think there's more pressure on the Yankees, Mez. I do. I know they have played better as of late, but considering the swoon that they were in, because it felt like they were where the Red Sox are right now not too long ago. Like, they were absolutely a lock for one of these spots, and now it feels like they're a scramble. So.
It is 100% the Yankees, Murray. 100%. And you know what? Here's the other thing, too, that I forgot to factor in this whole wild card thing with the Red Sox. New York and Toronto are playing head-to-head.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. New York and Toronto are playing head-to-head at the beginning of the week. One of them is guaranteed to lose. The Red Sox can pick up absolutely enormous ground on one of those clubs if they beat the crap out of the Orioles.
I thought you knew that. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier.
So, I know. I just went in one ear and out the other. When hosts aren't paying attention, Murray, what do you want me to tell you? It is absolutely more important in New York. If the Yankees get beat up this weekend and then go into Toronto, look out. The Yankees will spin right out of this. And there's a lot of good stuff to watch in this series. The two first basemen tonight, Rizzo for the Yankees, Schwarber for the Red Sox. Trade deadline on display. Both playing first base, both batting second. Good stuff. Chris in Medford with an interesting question. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, so obviously I don't think or I don't hope their Sox are going to get swept, but if they go down 2-0 to the Yankees in this series, don't you think that the Alex Cora and the Red Sox are going to wish that they managed Chris Sale a little bit better to guarantee that he had at least one start in the biggest series of the season? Thanks. I'll listen.
Okay, so look, it's a fair question. I don't think it's wrong to bring that up. Should the Red Sox have set their pitching up in such a way that it would have allowed Chris Sale to face New York in this series? And remember, Sale was on the COVID list. So the Red Sox had some limitations there when it came to, you know, pitching him at all. I mean, he obviously was not available to them for some period of time. They ended up pitching him on the Friday night against Baltimore, which I think was, you know, close to his first night available. Now, that's something that I guess we don't really know. That, you know, it's possible that he was cleared earlier and they held him out till that Friday because they wanted to set their pitching up. But they won that game against Baltimore, and then he pitched again against the Mets, and they won that game too. So do you run the risk of losing another game there when you could have had him against New York? I don't know. I honestly like the way the Red Sox set up their pitching. I think they're in good shape.
Yeah, but it's not like he's been asked to do a lot of heavy lifting since he's been back. Okay, two against the Rays. He started seven games. Two against the Rays. Those other five are two against the Orioles, the Rangers, Twins, and Mets. Like, I'm with the caller. If you look at this thing now, and it is obviously a very important series, you just hold him back. You make sure he pitches in this series.
So, Murray, you're not wrong. Let me ask you, do you think, aside from setting it up the way they did, which has Sale and Eovaldi going on the final weekend of the season, albeit Eovaldi on short rest. So what the Red Sox are really hoping for is that they don't need Eovaldi in that season finale on 3 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
That they would then pitch him on Tuesday in the play-in game. So they have set it up that way. Candidly, I think that the other reason they don't have Chris Sale pitching in this series against the Yankees is because he's a bad matchup and he's not the same guy right now. So I know everybody loves Chris Sale, and you say, well, you got to get Sale on the mound. He's 5-0, and why not give the ball to Sale because you're accustomed to saying that Chris Sale is your ace. And if your ace is available, you give him the ball. And I'm telling you that this year, right here, right now, Chris Sale is not your ace. Nathan Eovaldi is, which is why the Red Sox lined it up the way they did. And that doesn't mean they're right. You have every right to second guess it. I'm not telling you you can't. I'm saying I think Eovaldi's got the better stuff. Eovaldi's pitch better. And as someone who thought the Nathan Eovaldi contract post-2018 when they re-signed him for 4 years and $68 million, as someone who thought that that contract was absolutely stupid money for a pitcher of that caliber, he's been worth every nickel.
You railed against that thing at that time.
At the time, it was a horrible contract. Horrible, horrible, horrible contract. And, you know, I'll tell you what, now's a good time to play it, actually, if we could get Cora on Eovaldi. Eovaldi has, first of all, he's having, you could argue that this is the best year of his career. And Eovaldi is, I wouldn't call him old. I wouldn't call him young either. He's 31. So he's right in the middle. In a lot of ways, you can say those are peak years for a pitcher. Back in 2015 for New York, he pitched 154 innings. He went 14-3. But the 14-3 is a little deceiving. His ERA was 4.20. I would submit that this year, I think Nathan Eovaldi's having the best year of his career. He's 10-8. He's pitched 173 innings. Tonight will be his 31st start. He's got an ERA of 3.5. He walks under two guys per nine innings. He's striking out almost 10 batters a game. I think the guy's been really good. Not great, but B-plus type of pitcher. I didn't think he was that when they signed him to that contract. And here's what Cora said when he was asked about Eovaldi.
Alex, how good do you feel giving Eovaldi the ball in any situation right now?
Feels great. I was telling Nielsen, there's a different pitcher compared to a few years ago, and we were feeling comfortable giving him the ball in any situation in 2018. He has evolved. You know, he's a complete pitcher now. His secondary pitches, they play the way he goes about it. You know, it's not only power, right? It's not only velocity. He mixes up his pitches, changes speeds with the fastball. So we're very happy to pitch him every 5 days and see where it takes us. He's been very solid, and I'm very happy for him.
So, again, I don't think Cora's assessment there is the slightest bit off base. This is not the same guy they signed. So if you want to say that in some ways they developed Nathan Eovaldi further, I think they did. He throws way more off-speed stuff. Do you remember the first year he came here? All it was fastballs at 99 or 100 and cutters. That's it. Now it's curveball. It's off-speed. He changes speeds. He's around the plate constantly. He used to be around the plate too much. The guy who pitched this year, oh, that guy's worth $17 million a year. In fact, he's probably worth more if you want to know the truth. So when this thing plays out, and we get to the end of it, and this is year three of that contract with Eovaldi, if it turns out that this is the guy he is at the end of the deal, I'll tell you they were right. They changed him while he was here, but they were right. Mike in a car and the importance of winning game one tonight. Go ahead, Mike.
You mentioned the point how Sale has been kind of shaky this year. I think this game, not only short-term, but long-term for the playoffs is huge, right? You mentioned that, say they go in tonight and lose this game, you probably got Eovaldi pitching that first game, even if they make the wild card, right? So if they lose tonight, then you're telling me they're going to run it back in 2 weeks with the same matchup probably, with Eovaldi going against Cole. It's not going to be a good look. Plus, if you have to rely on Pivetta to win you a game tomorrow after losing tonight, I don't know. Just seems kind of shaky to me, but I'll hang up and listen.
Yes, so Mike, listen, in a series like this, the first game means a lot. The first game means a lot because the pendulum swings. The Yankees win this game, they're one out. You win, you're up three. Now, a completely different scenario. That's a massive difference when you have eight games to play. And so the fact that you have Pivetta going tomorrow, Pivetta's pitched against the Yankees once this year. He got his face ripped off. I think he pitched an inning and a third or something. It was. I'll see if I can find it exactly for you, but it was low. And it was an inning of two-thirds. He gave up four hits, four runs, three walks. He got absolutely shellacked. So it might have been one of his worst outings of the year. But I do think that the thing that the Red Sox have going for them is that Eovaldi and Pivetta obviously are both right-handed. I think this is a right-handed, heavy Yankees lineup, particularly with guys who love to pull the ball, Giancarlo Stanton. And as such, you can pitch him to the ballpark here, let him hit the ball to right center, and have a lot of fly balls die out there before they get to the bullpens. There aren't a ton of right-handed hitters in the game that can hit the ball to the opposite field and get home runs at Fenway Park. Stanton's one of them. The Yankees have probably more than one of them. I think Gary Sanchez can probably do it. But Sale against the Yankees in this ballpark, when he's not at his best, throwing 92 miles an hour facing all those right-handers, I hate it. I hate it. So I know everyone says Chris Sale. Which Chris Sale? The Chris Sale from 3 years ago? Or 4 years ago? Or the Chris Sale who's throwing the ball now?
And I would say, you know, if they held him back, just goes to show you, man, maybe this organization still had appreciation for history and drama. But with these uniforms and how they're handling Chris Sale, just goes to show you maybe they don't anymore, Mess.
Okay, well, there you go, Murray. Yep, there you go. Maybe there's no appreciation for history.
Chris Sale on the mound pitching against the Yankees wearing the real Red Sox home uniform. That's what it should look like.
Okay, that's what it should look like. I'm more concerned about how it ends. It's what I'm more concerned about. And again, you get the first one, you really put some heat on New York. Really, really put some heat on New York. And then, you know, in theory, you could even lose the last two and still be in half-decent shape going to Baltimore because the Yankees and Blue Jays will play one another.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.